Beerables Inc. is an e-solutions company that provides custom web design, web application development, and internet marketing services to individuals and businesses. They can build powerful e-commerce sites, mobile apps, develop content, and market you on social media. They can help manage your brand's reputation and provide rock-solid customer support. Call today at 1-800-651-6091 or email us at info@beerables.com for a free consultation today. Again, the number is 1-800-651-6091.
The Shaw Piralee Law Group and Immi Law Help, Inc. are proud to announce the release of the Immigration Law Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and other renowned podcast channels. Immigration Law Podcast was designed to provide the audience with information on various U.S. immigration issues. The podcasts are unique because they are presented by the prominent attorney, Shaw Piralee, covering topics such as B-1, B-2 visas, visitor and business visas, H-1B visas, L-1 visas, O visas, EB-1 visas, student visas, perm labor certifications, national interest waivers, NIW, green cards, and citizenship. Although educational in nature, the podcasts provide a rare insight on immigration news and politics from an experienced lawyer's perspective. Immigration Law Podcasts, a unique perspective on immigration law. Download them from iTunes or Google Play. For more information, visit attorneyonair.com or call 510-742-5887. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
Are you an H-1B visa holder? Do you have an I-140 petition approved or have an extension under AC-21 provisions? Are you on H-4 visa? If yes, we've got amazing news for you. As of May 26, 2015, you or your spouse on H-4 visa might be eligible for a work permit, aka EAD. And to apply, you need a lawyer who knows about H-4 visa issues. Lawyer Shaw Piralee has been at the forefront of this fight for H-4 rights and has actually helped make this dream a reality. Now, his firm is ready to help you or your spouse get their EADs. Call 510-742-5887 or visit www.splgpc.com to apply for your EAD. This is an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
And now, from the San Francisco Bay Area studios, KLOK proudly presents to you the prominent attorney Shaw Piralee for the Shaw Piralee Law Show, coming at you with over 50,000 watts of power. The Shaw Piralee Law Show, where all your views matter.
Hello, 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 everybody. Assalamu alaikum, sastakar, namaskar to all the listeners. This is Attorney Shaw Piralee for another law show today. We're going to talk, of course, about immigration law and also about debt settlement. And today we are going to start, of course, is Rocky coming. So I say happy Rocky to everybody. Hope you're going to enjoy yourself. And we're going to talk as much as possible about all the issues when it comes to immigration. And also we will be taking the calls. The number to the studio today is 408-912-5565. 408-912-5565. And today I have with me on the board my friend Franco, who's really helping me. And Franco, really, I really appreciate it. And I'm very honest because you make things so easy for me. So I wanted to thank you especially again today for making this show possible. And of course, KLOK for helping. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start. Anything I'm telling you today is going for for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. So the thing that we're going to discuss today, of course, is the famous speech by Donald Trump talking about extreme vetting of immigrants and how he's really going to sort out so-called immigrants in basically the way he's going to be able to filter them. the truth is that there's no way constitutionally he will be able to do that in a way that will pass constitutional muster. But of course, he can get away with it if he becomes president somehow in some way. But the truth is, I doubt it. So now at this point in time, we are looking at a situation where hopefully it seems like, personally, I don't think he's going to be president now at this point when I was thinking he will be. But there's still a chance, so we need to be ready for all this. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about not only about what he's talking about here, but we're also going to talk about all the problems we are happening on the visa bulletin. And actually, it seems now we're starting to get the attention, getting the attention of the media. Actually, CNN contacted me and wanted to do a piece on the visa bulletin, and especially on the EB1 retrogression, and hopefully that will include the EB2 too. Let's hope they will write the article and publish it, because that will really have an impact on hopefully changing that law, changing the situation for many who are waiting for years. But we need more people to sign on the petition, because it seems the petition is starting to have its impact. So please help us, just like we did for the H4 EAD. If we're able to change that visa bulletin for the better, things are going to be good for many people who are actually suffering right now, waiting indefinitely, almost endlessly, for years, some 20 years, some 25 years, some 30 years. And it can't keep going on like that. At one point, people are going to really kind of lose hope in the United States, and that's going to have a huge impact on the economy. So we need to explain that to our Congress people. We need to explain that to the government, that we are dependent on those immigrants to run especially the Silicon Valley and many other places which are copying the Silicon Valley with technology right now. Countries which are allowing people in, like Canada and some other countries, are going to start doing better. So we need to think well before we back off on those people. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, Franco, if we have any any calls right now. So if anybody would want to call on any immigration matter, whether it's for your green card, for your H-1B, I-140, feel free to call. Go ahead. I think I have one caller. This is Shapra. You're live on air. Hello.
Hi, my question is, yes, if a permanent resident is out of U.S. for more than 6 months without a travel document, is it required to get a S-1 visa from their home country?
No, you don't need a visa when you're a permanent resident. You won't get it, actually, but unless you lose a green card. So 6 months is not a big problem, but once you reach close to 1 year, there's a chance they will block you at the airport. But there are exceptions to that. So what I tell people, to come back before 6 months, but they can, for the first time, they can go up to 11 months, but they need to come back quickly. And if they want to stay outside for longer time, get the reentry permit before they leave. So after 6 months, you're still okay a little bit, but it's not the rule. The rule is after 6 months, there's a presumption you abandon the green card. So be careful. So you should come back quickly and then apply for the reentry permit and then leave. Okay?
Sure, thanks. So what's the purpose of SB1 visa? I read on the internet.
The SB1 is for people who have gone more than 1 year. And they want to come back, then they apply for the SB1. But at this point, it's not really necessary. But most of the time, SB1, by the way, gets denied, so be careful. Okay?
Okay.
And if you have a problem, just give me a call at the office. We'll see what we can do for you. 510-742-5887. 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra. You're live on air. Hello? Hello? I think I lost that caller, Franco. Let me take another one. This is Shapra. You're live on air.
Yeah. Hi. Hello? I have a question about visitor visa extension.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So my mother had I-94 for 6 months. And due to my son's birthday, we want to extend it by 10 days. We sent the application just like 50 days back, or like there is 50 more days. So my question is, if we don't hear back, because I heard the processing can take 2 to 3 months. So if I don't hear back before she leaves, what would be a problem? And if we hear back a rejection while she's here, would she become out of status immediately, or will there be some time?
Okay, very good question. First of all, if you don't hear anything back, it's pending, then and she leaves before getting an answer, she'll be fine, because then it's, she's in a period of stay authorized by the Attorney General, even after the date. But if she gets a denial, then it becomes a problem, because then two things happen. As from the date when the last I-94 expires, she'll be accruing what we call unlawful presence. As long as she doesn't accrue unlawful presence for more than 180 days, she can reapply for the visa. But the only problem is that if the visa gets denied, then automatically the multiple entry visa will get canceled on her passport. And number two, to answer your question, then the date gets denied, she is out of status. She has to leave as soon as possible. Okay?
Okay, thank you. One follow-up question. You said if the extension is denied, will her visa also be denied, multiple entry, or is just that if only if she stays overstays, it will be denied?
If it gets denied before the I-94 expired, then she's fine if she leaves on time. But if it, let's say, for example, her I-94 expires on August 31st, you apply for the extension and it's pending until September, right? End of September. Mm-hmm. As long as she's pending, she's fine. If she leaves before that, she's fine. But if it gets denied, for example, on September 20th, then automatically it goes back to the date of August for counting the unlawful presence. And number two, by operation of law, they have a right to cancel her multiple entry visa on her passport. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. You're welcome. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra. You're live on air.
Hi, Shapra Ali.
Hello.
Thank you for being doing this show. And I have one question about the H4 EAD.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your kind words. Go ahead.
We applied for my wife. We applied for H4 EAD. And we got both the approval things. But the thing is, we applied for future date. And it is perfectly fine that she got H4. Starting date is perfectly fine, that future date. But the EAD we got is not the same date. We got earlier, like 2 months earlier of that EAD date. So do we have to notify the USCIS, or how it works?
I don't know the answer, because I never had this situation. Yeah, it is a mistake. So you should be able to continue working on that, but I think you should call the USCIS. But what will happen when you do that, then they will ask you to send back the EAD, and then based on that, then what will happen is you will not have an EAD. Give me a call at the office. Let me analyze that, because I have to do a consultation on this one, because I have never had a situation where this mistake happened. But technically, the date of the EAD should apply as from the H4. So I think there's a mistake that happened there, unless they considered the H4 kicked in earlier. But it's not a mistake that prevents her from working. So technically, she might be able to work. But since it is something that I've never seen really, so it's probably a mistake, you might want to inform them just to be on the safe side. Okay?
Gotcha. Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Give me a call at the office if you're having some issues. 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shapra. You are live on air.
Hey, hi, good morning. This is Rago. I have a question. My I-140 was approved in 2014. And recently I have seen that for the same I-140, the status on the USCIS has changed to initial review. I'm not sure what does that mean.
Oh, it was approved when? In 2014?
Yeah.
And then now when you're checking the status, it's saying under review?
Yeah, it went back to the initial review. I have the 140 document.
Okay, it might be two reasons. It might be a mistake on the system, or it might be they're investigating the I-140, or your employer might have withdrawn it. Are you with the same employer?
No, I changed the employer, but with the same I-140, I got the extension on H1 also.
Yeah, so you will not know until they will probably send you, if this is what's going to happen. If there was some kind of issues on the I-140 when it was filed, they will send an intent to deny on the I-140 to your original employer. You won't even know about it. Then, if that's the case, then If they are not able to answer it or they don't answer it, then you will see there that the I-140 was revoked. So at this point in time, unfortunately, there's not much you can do. You can try to do what we call a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act form, and try to pull the case if they allow you to do that. But it's impossible to tell. It either might be a technical issue on the glitch on the computer, or it might be the employer might have revoked the I-140, or number three, it might be the I-140 is being investigated or being questioned by the USCIS based on possible fraud or something like that. So it's very hard to tell at this point. So the best, okay, if you want to get the information, fill the form G639, okay?
Okay.
And get the information.
So if it's revoked or it's under investigation, and if it goes, it's revoked, will it impact the current H-1 extension that I have?
No, it won't impact the current H-1, but it won't allow you. If you pass 6 years, they won't allow you to file another H-1B extension.
So I'm already past my 6 year and have the H-1 extension approved.
Okay, so you will be able to enjoy, you will be able to enjoy that time that they give you, unless if you want to change company, then you'll have problems. Or if you want to do another extension, you're going to have problems. So at this point, you cannot just speculate. So you need to wait and find out what is happening. Watch over it. And if there's any problem, give me a call at the office. We'll see how we can fight it for you if possible. You can call me,
okay,
at 510-742-5887. Okay? Good luck,
okay,
to you.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Let me take another caller. This is Shapira. You're 11, yeah?
Yeah. Hi, Shapira. Good morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
So I have a question with respect to my L1B. My visa is expiring on October 23rd, but unfortunately I have to travel for a month. So I'll be back on September 26th. So my expiry is on October 23rd. So what would be the implications on this? Would they give still 3 years extension, or it would be only the visa end date? What are the alternatives I have?
Did your company file for your extension already?
They're not ready to do L1 extensions because they're going, they're not approving, right? That's the reason. They don't want to do it. They're asking us to stay in I-94.
Okay, I'm confused. If the company doesn't file for your extension and the date expiring, how are you going to come back? They won't allow you to be back. Because usually when you come back, they request that your 797 at least to be 6 months valid. So if you don't have that, then you will not be able.
It's a blanket visa, right? L1B blanket visa.
Oh, okay, so it's a blanket. So then the blanket, they have to send you the I-129 so that you can basically pick it up at the U.S. Embassy. But if they're not willing to do that, how are you going to come back?
Normally, for L1s, they are saying that they'll give you normally 3 years extension, respect of the visa date. That's what's happening so far to all colleagues. So, that's the reason I'm asking you for the suggestion. What are the alternatives have here?
The question is the company still willing to hire you?
Yeah, I'm a full-time employee, yes.
Then they will probably get you the blanket when you apply. But if you're saying that when is your visa stamp expiring? You say 23rd and you're coming back 26th, or the other way around?
No. So I have a visa until October 23rd. I'll be entering into next stage on September 23rd or so. So I have 1 month validity.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, they might give you a blanket the whole 3 years. But make sure you get a letter of employment from your company confirming your job.
Yeah, I did.
Because the stamp, even if it is good for 1 day, is fine, as long as the offer still holds. But
okay,
make sure that you get all the paperwork from the company when you travel. Get their blessing, because otherwise, if they don't back
I
you
understand.
Up, then at the airport,
okay,
they will give you a hard time. Okay? Okay.
Yes. One last question, if you don't mind. So
We are planning to apply for L1A extension all this time. So how does it help? I mean, is it so easy to get L1A? It's not, right?
Well, it's not hard. You have to qualify for it. But right. Sometimes it's better to move to the L1A. Then you it's easier for you down the road to move to EB1C. It's not difficult, but it's not very easy either. So it all depends on your case. So it's very hard for me to analyze just on that phone to tell you. But it is possible. A lot of people do it and they get it done. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Bye.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shaprali. You're live on air.
Hi, Shaprali. Thanks for taking my question. My name is Hema Chandra. I have a question. I have two questions. First one is, I'm on H-1B. I wanted to know how long I can be out of USA working or being on the paid leave.
What do you mean paid leave? You can leave the USA. It doesn't matter because as soon as you leave, the H-1B stops the status. So you can be there. Usually, once you pass 6 years outside, then they might not give you the CAP exempt to come back. But there's no limitation except the 6 years, especially if you don't have an I-140. So you can go, for example, under H-1, you leave, and automatically the H-1 stops, or your company revokes it. Then when you want to come back, they have to revive it, either reapply or an amendment, or not an amendment, but apply for a new H-1B under CAP exempt, as long as they do it within 6 years, or you can transfer it to another company. But there's no real limitation except the 6 years rule, kind of.
No, I have still 3 more years of H-1B, but I have a family emergency. I wanted to take a couple of months of break. I want to go back and come back. During this time, I'll be still working here.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Whenever you take days off, as long as your company doesn't cancel your H-1B, you're fine.
Okay.
But if they cancel it, then they have to revive it. Okay?
Okay. And the second one is, how long I can get my mother here? Because she's alone there. Is it possible to get her here for 1 year on B-1 visa?
No, it has to be 6 months. Usually you give them here, then at the airport they'll give you. They can give 3 months or 6 months, and you can try to extend it. But there's no 1 year. Unless she has some kind of emergency, then you tie humanitarian parole. That's a different situation, but that's very complicated to do. So give me a call at the office, and then we can decide for your mother what we can do. 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shapira, you're live in here.
Hi, Shah. Thanks for your show. I have a quick question.
You're welcome.
I think you might have answered this. I just tuned a few minutes back and you were just ending the answer for this question. It's about the visitor visa for the parents. Do they get 6 months or 180 days? Can it be 181 days but still within 6 months? What is the rule for this? Yesterday, we booked a ticket with a travel agent from October 20 to April 19, so which is still less than 6 months, but if the exact dates were like 181. So the travel agency told us that the airline marked that ticket as exceeding 179 days. They said that might cause a problem when immigration, so we had to cancel the ticket. So I just wanted to know what's the rule. Is it 180 days, or if it's more than that, what happens?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. But the 180 days is, it's usually 180 days if I'm not mistaken. We always say 6 months. I never really counted the days, honestly, with you. So technically, no, you cannot have it 181 days, I think, because that will basically kind of go against the rules. And actually, I don't recommend people even having that kind of long ticket, because at the airport, they might not like it and they might just send her back. So it's kind of too long. Usually what is better, if they come here and then they like, you can extend on the ticket. Because at the airport, when they see that long, they don't like it. I'm not saying no, but
yeah.
I don't recommend that. But,
don't
make it past 180 days.
The reason I'm asking this is, before when they came last time, they got between September 30 and March 29. Which happened to be, the I-94 stamp was March 29. although they left earlier than that. But September 30 to March 29 actually happened to be 182 days, including the last day. So they did give more than 180 days on the stamp, on the I-94.
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. I never calculated it. I always considered
but
as 6 months.
But it's technically within the 6 month calendar date.
Yeah, this is 6 months usually. It's calculated by month, but we always kind of assume it's 180 days. So I will not recommend having it, but you might be right on that. And unfortunately, this is one answer I'm going to double check. But I know it's 6 months. We always tell people you get 3 months or 6 months. So you might be right. It just adds up on the number of months, not on the number of days. But I would recommend just to be on the safe side. Don't pause the 180 days, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Oh? Okay, good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shapirai. You're live on air. Hello? Okay, I don't know if I have more callers right now, so thank you so much. We had back-to-back calls, Franco, and I wanted to let you know, of course, we are talking about so many issues. We are talking today a lot about visitor visa and bringing the family. I know a lot of people stuck there. They don't see their mother, father, brothers, and they want them to come. But be very careful. I have a very good video on the YouTube talking about the visitor visa, so check it on YouTube channel, YouTube/Shapirai Law. YouTube.com/Shapirai Law. And another thing, of course, we are talking about earlier is the situation we are having, of course, with the visa bulletin. And it seems now it's getting the attention of many of the media. And like I said, I had someone calling from CNN asking to basically kind of listening to the stories of people suffering, especially those on EB1 now with the retrogression. And ultimately, I think it might be a good idea if people tell their story without giving details of the situation, but at least tell the suffering. And hopefully we should be able to create an awareness campaign like we did on H4. And hopefully with the petition now starting, this is how the petition works, right? We have the petition, then we have the media getting involved, and then we create an awareness campaign, and ultimately we can change the law and try to find some solutions. But at this point in time, we need the pressure, so we need more signatures on the petition. If you go on Google, type reduce EB2, waiting time for India and China, it will pop up. So please sign it and pass it to your friends. You can sign through Facebook. And also, hopefully, I will post the number for this reporter. Her name is Sarah O'Brien. She's very famous on CNN Money. She spoke to me last time, and she wanted to get a feedback, what is happening, how people are suffering under those EB1 especially. But we can actually, I spoke to her also about EB2. Hopefully she'll write something that will be helpful. Last time she wrote a couple of articles that really helped to make the H4 EAD possible. Let me take another caller. I think, Franco, you have more callers. This is Shapirai. You're live on air.
Hi, Sha. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm on H1B visa and my wife is on F1 OPT system extension. And she's currently pregnant, and we are planning to get my in-laws to request to help her out during the delivery time. So we booked a ticket for 164 days. They are on B1 visa. At the port of entry, do we face any issues because she is on F1 OPT system extension?
I didn't get your question. So the mother is going to come, and at the port of entry, you're asking if you should tell that she is an F1 OPT extension?
Yes.
That's what you're asking? Well, yeah, they already know about it, pretty much. They have it on the record, probably. So just tell the truth, because lying at the port of entry can cost you really bad. So, yeah, she's on F1 status. It's still F1, even if it's OPT. You don't need to give details of that, but she's on F1 and she's having a baby, and the mom wants to be by the side of the daughter. So that's nothing wrong about that. So, yeah, go ahead and tell that, because if you tell something else, you're going to have problems.
Do we need to produce any proof that she's currently pregnant? Do we need to give them certificate or something like that from the doctor?
No, you don't have to, but it would be good if she can carry something. But once at the airport, it all depends on the officer there. But they are not... it's good to have it, but it's not necessary.
just get a letter from the doctor if you can. That would be good enough, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. This is Shapira, you're live on air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, hi,
you're live on air.
This is Amit here.
Hi.
Hi,
Amit, how are you?
I have one question. Actually, my spouse is green card holder here, and she applied for my adjustment of status in March this year, and I already got my EAD and advanced parole, and waiting for my green card interview and then the green card. So my question is, actually, my passport is expiring in January next year, 2017. Can I go ahead and renew the passport, or will it impact my green card processing adjustment?
No, it won't impact your green card process. But make sure you get a receipt if you're going to the Indian embassy to renew, if in case they call you for an interview, then you can show that you send it for renewal. But it is good to renew it as soon as possible and pay for the expedited fee. Okay?
Okay, great. And do you know how much time will it take for the green card interview since I applied in March 2016 for adjustment of status?
I don't know. What category did you apply on?
Family-based.
Okay. It all depends. If the dates are current, you should get it soon. If not, if the dates are not current, then I will not know. I have to kind of look at it and check the chart, and I don't have it in front of me. But it can take between 6 months, even 2 to 3 years, depending if the dates are current. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thanks, sir.
Okay, good luck to you. Give me a call at the office if you need help. 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller. This is Shapra. You're live on air.
Hi, Shapra.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I have one question on H-1B.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I applied H-1B on a premium process. It's 2 weeks is completed. Still, I'm not received my receipt number, receipt notice. So I checked with the employer. He says the cash, the checks are cashed. The lawyer says the email also not received. So should I wait for until 2 weeks are completed today, as of today? So what is the, can I call my lawyer and talk with the USIS to get that number, or we need to wait for that?
Of course. There's an email for them, but what you can do, look on the check at the back. I don't know if the company check. Ask them to look in the back. Sometimes they will put the receipt number on the back of check. Sometimes, not always. So you might get the receipt right there. And then you can call, ask your lawyer to call the premium processing center and ask them about the case, because by law, within 2 weeks, it should be adjudicated. So it probably issued the thing, but sometimes they forget to email, or they just go ahead and send the receipt, but the receipt is lost. So, yeah, they should call. First check on the back of the check that was cashed. The receipt might be there. Otherwise, you can just go ahead and call them. Ask your lawyer to call them, actually. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shapira. You are live on air.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Hi. Hey, good morning. This is Ravi, and I have a question related to H-4 EAD. If I change the company, then my wife's H-4 EAD, she has to reapply, or will it stay the status as same before?
No, you don't have to reapply, as long as your H-4 is continuing, or you make sure. It's always good to do an H-4 transfer to extend the H-4, and as long as it's done properly, your H-1 transfer is done properly, she should be able to keep her H-4 and H-4 EAD. So, no, she doesn't have to reapply. But if your H-1 is not applied properly and you miss the transfer, you have to do consular processing, then you have to reapply for her, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay, good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shapira, you're live in here.
Hey, sir, thanks for taking the call. I have
You're
a question. I'm on 6th year of my H-1B. It's expiring by end of this year. And my I-140 is filed 4.5 months back. And now my company is, preparing for file H-1B extension. So in this scenario, am I going to get 3 years of H-1B extension, hoping that I-140 will be approved before, you know, H-1B extension approval? Or am I going to get just 1 year because labor is, you know, filed before 1 year?
Okay, you won't get 3 years if the I-140 is not approved by the time they approve the H-1B. That's rule number one. Rule number two, you don't get even the 1 year extension if the labor combined with the I-140 doesn't complete 365 days of pending. So either or ways is not going to work unless, in those cases, I recommend filing the I-140 under premium, getting it approved, then going ahead and filing the H-1B. If you don't have it 365 days total, combined of labor pending and I-140, there's no way you're even going to get the 1 year. So make sure that your lawyers know that and the employer know that, because the rule requires 365 days pending, not file 1 year before. No, it doesn't work this way, okay? So the best in your case is to do a premium under the I-140 and then file the H-1B, okay?
Okay, right. And one more thing is, if I try to check the I-140 status, you know, the USCIS system says, you know, they couldn't find the case. So my lawyer says it may be possible that it may be the system fault. So, you know, no need to worry.
Yeah,
about.
It might be possible, but usually no. It's very rare that you see it doesn't show the case. So I think you have a receipt number, right?
If
I were you, I'll pressure the company to do the premium processing on this. Make sure that it is done, because delaying that is not worth it for you. It's too dangerous, okay? And if you need help on that, just give me a call, 510-742-5887, okay?
Sure. Thank you.
Good luck to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know we have some more callers waiting, so I'll take 2 minutes before I take the more callers just to talk about another topic, of course, that we always discuss about debt settlement. Right now, we are seeing a lot of situation of layoffs and people shifting jobs and having situations where they have to take a break. So they have been using credit cards or having debts on their head. And if they have situation like that, like second mortgages or credit card debts, give us a call. We'll be glad to help you clear all those credit card debts and without having to get into a bankruptcy situation. And the number to our office is 510-742-5887. The website for debt settlement is yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. Many people who are on green card or H-1B, they are worried about doing a debt settlement because they think it will affect their immigration. Usually no, because these are civil matters. So if you're on H-1B or you're on green card and you're struggling with your debts, let us know. We will check if we can help you. We cannot help on student loans, by the way, but we can help on pretty much all the other debts. We can just give us a call, 510-742-5887. We will assess your case. And usually for debt settlement, it works on contingency, so only when we win, you pay. Not on immigration, so don't confuse the two. We are talking only debt settlement here. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take more callers, Franco, and hopefully we'll have Amit coming soon. This is Shapra. You're live on air.
No other callers as of now.
Okay, Franco. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if I will be able to take more callers, but I might be able to take a couple of them before Amit comes on board. So just to talk, I was talking a little bit to recap about debt settlement, because this is another thing that we really have to deal with right now in the situation with a very volatile market going up and down. Sometimes you see the job market strong, sometimes it goes backward, and it's really kind of affecting a lot of people. And many people are relying on credit cards to basically survive for those few months, and suddenly when they get back on the job, their payments become so high they cannot really afford the credit card. At the same time, they don't qualify for bankruptcy or don't want to file bankruptcy, and this is where we can come in and try to negotiate those debts to bring them to a lesser value and then have you pay for it. And that's what we do on a debt settlement. You can check how it works on our website, yourdebtsettlementattorney.com.
yourdebtsettlementattorney.com, yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. And you can also look for some of the work we have done on debt settlement on the Facebook page, Debt Settlement Attorney. Before I move forward now, since I was talking about debt settlement now, I'm going to go back a little bit to recapping what we call on the immigration side. We are seeing a lot of things happening, especially with that election year, a very, very strange election year, of course, with Donald Trump basically saying a lot of things that many immigrants are scared of, because the truth is that he's been flipping so much, both not only on employment-based immigration, not only on family immigration, and building the wall, asking people who are Muslims to basically not come to the United States, blocking them, and now he's talking about extreme vetting, which the truth is that although many people, scholars, are talking about being unconstitutional, this has been done before, actually, in the U.S. One of them, famous one, was a Chinese act, which basically prevented Chinese to enter the United States, or even was making them illegal, and that really hurt a lot of people. And during World War II, we had a situation where people of Japanese descent was basically interned in camps, and that's one of the sad stories of the U.S. Well, there are many sad stories in the U.S., by the way, Vietnam, etc., but this one was one of the worst because it's basically interning children. And we know some very famous people who were there. One of them was our representative, Mike Honda, who was one of those people who basically suffered through this time. So this is not something that has been held in history as really good. But, of course, Mr. Trump is using that as a tool. We don't know how much legalities of it at this point, but it has been done before, so there are precedents. So we hope that things are not going to reach that point, because if that's the case, then America will be a very different world for many people who have lived here. So now the question is, what are we going to see next? Well, at the same time, we're not seeing much from the Democratic side when it comes to employment-based immigration from Hillary Clinton. She has not really made any point what she's going to do on H-1B, cut them off, or basically give more, etc., etc. So we are waiting and watching, but the only thing is just basically the extremes of the two sides are kind of really standing out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what will happen? A lot of people calling me, what do you expect on the visa bulletin for for month of October? We already know for September it moved a little bit on EB2 and EB3 for India, but not much, and EB1 stayed backlog. So, and also we saw the retrogression on EB2 for other countries of the world. So what I'm thinking is next month, October, we'll see probably the same kind of movement a little bit, maybe forward or backward. As for the EB1, I think it will tone down after like 2-3 months. So we're going to see the EB1 going back maybe 3 years, like 2013 or something. But I don't think it will happen now for October. So the whole question will be, what can we expect next? But unfortunately, we cannot really tell what is in there in the head of the whole system. So the only thing that we can tell you is we know there will be no extreme movement in the forward, because that will really be a surprise. But hey, we never know. So the question that we everybody is asking now, what is going to happen to the EB2 for India, especially in China, where we're talking about for India of a 12 or 13 years of waiting, if I'm not mistaken, and that's really not something acceptable, honestly, because that's really a lifetime almost. So what are we going to see? Well, EB3, we saw it, and I know people, since I started practicing waiting, now still waiting. So I don't know if they will move that forward. I was hoping that we will move forward. But we need to keep the push and keep putting the pressure with the petition and using the media in our favor, really understanding the human aspect of all this problem. And we are coming up, hopefully, with something. I've been talking about this, but take some time to kind of compile the stories and show a human factor to the situation. And hopefully, I will distribute it to the news, and they will hopefully publish it, things like that. But having said that, now, ladies and gentlemen, Franco, I don't know if Amity is there.
Yes.
But yes, so I will, and I think we have another 10 minutes to go, so I will let Amit continue. And anything I'm telling you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. 510-742-5887, attorney@air.com. Thank you very much, Franco, and happy Rakhi to all. Amit, are you there?
Hey, Shah, yes, I'm here. How are you?
Yeah, okay. Happy Rakhi to you, and
thank you.
I hope
thank you,
for all the best. All the best. So I'll let Amit continue, and this show will be played again on Monday from noon to 1, and next Thursday will be live. Good luck and happy Rakhi again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Shah, and Sat Sri Akal, Adab, Namaste to all the listeners. Yes, and very happy Rakhi to everybody. I hope you guys are enjoying it and being with your brother and sister together. I'm here to give you a little bit of the recap on real estate. And if you do want to get more information about our details, you can listen to us on every Tuesday from 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon on my show, Apna Ashiana, which is live on 1170. But I do come with Shah on Monday and Thursday to give a recap on real estate and debt settlement. So let me give you my contact details. If you are planning to actually need any help on real estate, you can contact me. I can definitely help you out and make your dream come true. My number is 510-299-9361. And my website is gambhiramit.com. That's GAMBHIR. Wanted to let you know ki as well as jehdi market hai ki hai, it's a good market. Agar tusi khareedna chahunde hai ki makan, this is a perfect time to go for the house and buy the property, because jehdi rates hai ne, it's been very consistent and they're not fluctuating a lot up and down. So the affordability, if you are looking to get a better affordability for another 5 years and you want to lock your rate right now, I would say go for it now. This is the perfect market agar to see apne paise bachana chahte hai kyo. And the main thing is, I am seeing a lot of adjustment in the pricing already in the market in some areas, but especially in the East Bay and the South Bay, the trend is not that set yet on the pricing. So pricing is very steady on the East Bay and the South Bay. Other counties, yes, there have been some adjustment, on the high jumbo loans, like $1 million houses and everything. Those pricing are getting a little bit, set right now, because it's getting hard for people to get qualified, because lenders, again, they are still very strict on the loans, even though, there is a lot of inventory out there and, a lot of demand out there as well. So not too many of the crazy loans are out there. So if you are thinking of buying the house, the qualification method is still strict right now. Ode karke actually, you should feel secure ke agar tusi hune makan loge, even though whoever comes as a president, I think the market is not going to take that much of a risk at the time. So I would say this is the perfect time for you to invest in the market, get your money in the real estate, because definitely it's a long-term process for the real estate. Agar tusi apne paise invest hune karde ho, you will start seeing the result after 5 years. Te os karke, I would recommend that if you are planning to buy the house, definitely make a choice and go for it right now. So for that, you can definitely call me. We can definitely guide you through the process, what to look for, what not to look for, to make the JDW process on that. We're going to make it easy for you based on that. So call me on that one if you are actually thinking about buying the house. Duji ga like ye ke for us, we normally make sure ke jehdi vi tuhaada contract hai ga, we find you the house. Agar si makan you go through us, agar tusi saade kol aande hai gyo, asi koshish karde ke tuhaada jehda makan hai ga, the process within 30 to 60 days of which complete ho jaye. So we can definitely help you out finding the right property for you based on your criteria. Tuhaada jehda criteria hai ga, ode saab de naal we work and we make sure we screen it down, so that way it's not too much of a hassle and you make the right decision on the kind of house you're looking to buy in the market. So number again is 510-299-9361. Dujiga lagi hai for the sellers, This is also the perfect market because, you know, since the demand is there, rates are low. People are still thinking of buying the house who are very serious. You're not actually going to get offers that are going to be crazy offers, low-ball offers on your house. Agar tusi apni property at your say price which market which paande hai gyo and do the proper marketing the way it has to be done, you will definitely find the serious buyer and make sure you can close it in within 30 to 60 days. Right now, actually, it's taking about 30 to 45 days for the property to go on the pending side. So that way you can definitely actually, you know, get it marketed properly, not too much in the rush. So that way, you know, you don't make a wrong decision that, okay, did I sell it for the low price? Yeah, I sell it for the high price based on the location. So the main thing is, okay, do your due diligence if you are planning to put the property in the market to see how it is updated, and plus, okay, price, understand the market and price it right. Don't go a little bit aggressive. Even though in some areas the market is still good, I would still say go for the price that your realtor is recommended, because the thing is they know the market very well. They look at the values in and out every time because they know each area very well. So that's the reason they're the expert and you're going to them to sell the property on that one. So if you have any questions regarding that, whether you want to buy, you want to sell, let us know. You know, we actually do help all the counties in California, not only one county. We take care of all the counties. We manage the properties as well. So we go all the way to Sacramento and Fresno as well too, because we are managing about 350 properties in our firm. So that's the main thing that, you know, we have experience and we know what to take care of and what to look for when you want to even do the investment as well with us for the long term. So again, the number is 510-299-9361. We do have some listings available. Sare ko kuch listing available hai gane. Agar tusi sochde po ya makan khareedne de bare vich. These are some great properties and you know, they're priced right according to your own needs. We have a single family house in San Jose, which is on Blossom Valley. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1589 living area. And this one is going to be listed at $745,000. It does have a very big lot, which is 8,800 lot size. We have a townhouse in Newark. We are planning to do an open house on Sunday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. It's a double-story townhouse, 1988 built. And the address is 36171 Toulouse Street in Newark, California. And the open house is going to be from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. So if you are actually in need of a townhouse in Newark with a low HOA, HOA is only $145 a month. So this can be a good affordable property starting. The price is at $663,000. So we can definitely help you out. And then the next one we have is in Manteca, which is a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, 3-car garage. Can be a good investment property for you. And this one actually is listed for $399,000. We do have offers on hand. We are still taking offers as well. Then we have a duplex in Hayward, which is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath duplex, 2-bedroom, 1-bath each, and with a lot size of 14,000. Listed price is $645,000 on that one. So these are some great listings we have available. We have other access to it too. If you have cash, you want to buy from the auction properties, we do go to the auctions and rehab it for you and flip it for you. We can do it for you. So number again is 510-299-9361. On the other hand, actually, if you want to do the debt settlement, agar tuhade kol do loan hai gane, tusi refinance karna si, you can do the refinance. For that, you can definitely call Shop Rally the team. No other number hai ga, 510-742-5887. Oh, actually, kuch bhi paise charge nahi karde upfront. Tadi charge karde hai gane, jadho tuhadi jadi settlement hundi hai, it is complete. Agar tuhade kol koi tax di lien hai ghi hai, ya koi credit card the lien hai ghi hai, and koi judgment hai ghi hai. They actually definitely help you out in the whole process and take care of all your stuff so that way you can get out of that hardship. They can get rid of that for you and then you can get back on your feet and, you know, start utilizing your money properly on that one. So again, for that, give them a call. Number is 510-742-5887. And for the real estate, anything you want to do with the buying, selling, investment, you know, you want to buy the commercial properties as well, like, you know, hotels, motels, subways, or care homes, anything like that, we do take care of that too as well. So my number is 510-299-9361. And that's all we have for you guys today. Have a great day, and then we'll be back on Monday. Thank you. Bye.